Thank you all for coming. Definitely appreciate it. As she said, from the University of South Carolina. And I'm going to be talking a little bit today about electronic health record use in residential care facilities. And so electronic health records, they're, you know, it's a little bit more than what you might just find in the patient's documented medical care if they go to a provider or whatever it is. In EHR, basically, you can add more information across the care continuum. More people can work with it, different clinicians and other facilities. So it's a really useful tool. I have no financial relationships to disclose. And so basically, residential care facilities, what are they? So these are facilities that are treating, or not necessarily treating, but caring for individuals that stay there and live in these facilities that need help with more than what they could do in their home. So they have sometimes nurses on staff, or it will vary. But so these individuals are people that need like help with assistance, activities of daily living, different things like that. Just a little bit of a background on who's in these facilities. You're going to find they're mostly non-Hispanic whites, females, and 85 and older, which is a very vulnerable population when you throw in that age aspect. So these are people that are really in a state of care, or in a state in their lives where the risk to them. I actually just left a presentation that talked a little bit about falls in Taiwan, and the falling really, I mean, the incline as you get older, I mean, that's just one example of leading to emergency room use and different things like that. So those in these facilities would definitely be at risk for that, and having chronic conditions, several other things. And so in 2010, there was approximately 733,000 people in these facilities. So it's a relatively large number. This is basically a little bit of background, a general statement about EHRs. So they're very useful in trying to streamline some of the communication between providers, having possibly information about a patient's or a resident's prescriptions, the type of care they need, whether or not they're diabetic, you know, something that could have a interaction possibly. If you have more than one prescription, well, you can see that, and you can try to identify whether or not something can be prevented before it leads to an adverse health outcome. And there is evidence outside of residential care facilities. I didn't find it an enormous amount of information that deals specifically with residential care facilities, but in the information that I did find, it basically mimics some of the literature that you'll find, is that EHRs in general, trying to use health information technology, it's going to have a benefit, and the benefits I found specifically for residential care facilities dealing with the aged were both to the facility as far as streamlining documents, less errors and disruptions, and then for the patients, their outcome, their satisfaction with care, and less complications, as specifically for prescription interactions. And so what we're trying to do here really is to find out, you know, who's using these EHRs and why, you know, what factors are associated with their use and their lack thereof as well. So this is a relatively new, it came out, I believe, in December of last year, survey. You can find it on the CDC's website, but it's the very first year. The second release has not been made available, so this is a cross-sectional study, but it's the only thing that would actually be possible. They did a two-stage probability sampling, so what you'll find in the public use files online is that you have information about the facilities, but you also have information about individuals within these facilities. So based on the facility size, residents were surveyed as well, and there's a long list of variables and information that they took from those residents, but in the public use file, you can't connect the two, so you need the restricted files, and so I'm not going to really talk about the residential survey in particular. What I'm talking about more so is the facilities. So as you see, our sample size, just over 2,000, about 2,100. And this is weighted. This is a weighted sample size, so it's nationally representable. And we use SAS with the weights as well. So an example of what an eligible facility would be for this study. So these are the eligibility criteria. I won't go through them all, but again, help with activities of daily living, at least have 24-hour on-site supervision, meals, different things like that. And just some examples of what you might be thinking of, some names of, where you might categorize residential care facilities, so homes for the aged, congregate homes, assisted living residences. So just something to keep in mind. So outside of the information that we have, outside of this survey, speculation on the differences between EHRs, between facilities, their certification, their adoption, their level of adoption, whether or not they any of the real details, we can't really speculate on. So this is the question asked in the survey. So other than for accounting or billing purposes, does the facility use electronic health records? And then it goes on to say, this is a computerized version of the resident's health and personal information used in the management of the resident's health care. So something to keep in mind as far as what level of adoption or whether it's streamlined to work with all the providers that are using or that are treating some of the residents would definitely be something that would be interesting to find out. And so these are some of the characteristics we include in our analysis, more so in some of the controls, and then specifically based on the outcomes when we do our comparison. So we wanted to know a little bit about location, so rural and non-rural. So, those areas that have greater than 50,000 residents or not, and this chain, so a chain, multi-group, multi-facility system, ownership, profit or non-profit, and the size. And we also included the proportion of residents under 55 to try to adjust for some of the differences in the age of the facilities. You'll notice on here that extra-large facilities are not included in our analysis because the data do not allow, they include under MSA, so the Metropolitan Statistical Area, they include that under missing, so there's no way to differentiate between those. And so this is just an overview of the facilities. So as you can see, in the vast majority, using electronic health records and residential care facilities is very low. About 18 or 17%. And so you look at ownership type. The vast majority are for-profit facility sizes. There's a lot of small facilities. Chain affiliation is relatively low, but that's not as big a difference there as you might see in some of the other characteristics. And then the majority of them are located in these more urban areas. Now, when we're talking about the electronic health record use, so you're reporting yes, that you actually are using this. If you take a look through here, so for ownership type, chain affiliation, MSA, you can see still it's small across the board. So it's just not one dominating characteristic in general. And these are the weighted percentages. Just throw it out there. Small and large, it's relatively close. But medium, a very low number there, about 3%. But in comparison, they're all really relatively low. And so our analysis, we used a logistic regression. So when looking at this, we're actually predicting a good outcome. So yes, you have these EHRs. So if you are lower than one, basically that's going to be a bad thing. And if you look over here, so some of the reference that we're comparing them to. So for metropolitan statistical areas, this is actually surprising. We do a lot of rural research in South Carolina, and the South Carolina Rural Health Research Center where I work. And this is not something you might find that's typical, where you would expect those rural agencies to basically be at a disadvantage. The facility size, this is something that you would expect, so small and medium versus large. Again, those are excluding extra large facilities in our analysis. So they're at a disadvantage here. Ownership type, so for-profits are actually at a disadvantage to nonprofits. And chain affiliation, so those that are not affiliated with a chain, so those that may have fewer resources, so those that are in a type of organization that might be just an individual facility without what you would think of as with a chain that would have a large resource base that has multiple facilities. So it might be an advantage for them to implement or having an EHR system. And so, in general, when we look across this, I mean, basically you have what I just said here. So when you're comparing small and medium, so those facilities that have also is similar to the what I was saying about the chain, so less resources possibly, and you can see the majority of those facilities are small, and or there's a large percentage of those. So that's what you might expect. Not affiliated with chains, so having less resources, and then those located in more urban areas. So, I mean, again, why is this important? Well, for the residents in these facilities, if you're at a higher age, on average overage, or as far as the majority, over age 85, you're at risk for a lot of complications. Care transitions especially is something that the EHR can be huge with. I mean, if you're going back and forth between one facility and another, from whether or not it's going to your primary care physician, going to the, if you have a fall, going to the emergency department, having a record that can follow you, or having the facility where you live to be able to track that progression, to be able to track, you know, well, you have all these prescriptions. If we have a nurse on staff, well, maybe we can identify, you know, well, you have multiple providers providing the same medication. Well, we can put flags, something that would catch some of this. And so preventing a lot of complications before they become serious. A lot of these are benefits. I mean, so that's really an important aspect of why we really, really should care about this. I mean, this is a relatively new survey, so we can't really say much about the trends. We can't really say that this is getting improving or not. You would hope that it is. Things to think about, the cost of care, the cost of adoption. I mean, if you're not in an area that has a large resource base, or you're in a facility that has minimum resources, the cost of actually doing this is relatively low. I mean, are relatively high, I'm sorry. And so that's just something to really take into account, that there are several barriers out there to adoption. And once you have that EHR that is fully functional in an integrated system, then you can start to say, well, these are the benefits we're able to reap. I mean, there's a lot that can be gained. But again, this is that first year of this study, and I'll wrap up now, but it's something to keep in mind. So, I mean, in the future, just to try to find out what are the trends going forward. Are there specific policies? Are there subsidies for some of these facilities? Do they qualify for them? I mean, if they're not a physician's office, obviously, so are they getting some of the same subsidies? Are they having access to some of this stuff to try to save some of the costs on that, to try to make it more viable, a more viable option for them? So, again, that's something to keep in mind for future research. And you know, if you have any questions, I guess we were going to save those for...
Yeah, do people have questions about this?
Okay. Yes.
Just one question. Your description of about what 82% of these are for-profit entities.
Right.
The definition of for-profit. For-profit can mean that you have an investor-owned facility. That is to say,
okay,
the facility is accountable to the stockholders.
Right.
Or for-profit could also mean, you know, in essence, that they're not declared as
okay.
Do you have any idea what the nature of the for-profit group is?
And to be perfectly honest with you, no. I suppose I just assumed the first answer to the first example that you gave. But if you're wanting to, after the presentation, I can direct you to some of the resources that they have. There's a lot of metadata out there. I have not memorized near it all, and the metadata might be able to provide specifically that information. I'd be more than happy to share that with you afterwards.
Or, it would be interesting to know. And
for sure. Excellent point. Thank you. Yes.
Did the data that you used have any questions about reasons for uptake? Did it have a question about whether they had an EHR, but did it include any?
outside of that, for this particular one, outside of that, I didn't identify anything else. They have other questions that are related to electronic record use for anything from the accounting and billing stuff. There are more questions in there that are directly related to having electronic records for specific items. The adoption, I don't believe, is in there. I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive that you will not find data on the level of adoption, so you know whether or not you qualify for certain standards and benchmarks set. The metadata, and actually if you Google the National Survey of Residential Care Facilities, it will probably be the very first thing that pops up, and you can go to that CDC link, and it has publications, it has the structure of the survey, how it was done, the pilot testing that was done, information about some of the non-public use variables and those that actually are public use. And once you start to, there's a huge amount of information, especially on the residential, the resident survey. I believe one of them was whether or not you have a microwave in your room, different things like that, some of the policies on admission. So it's a very rich and underpublished data set right now. It came out in December of last year, so if you guys are interested in looking for things that haven't been published 1,000 times, this might be something that would be useful.
Okay, we're going to move on. Thank you very much.